Hi, and welcome to SpondyCast, where we bring together the best medical minds, thought leaders, scientists, patients, and caregivers to inform and inspire the spondylitis community. I'm your host, Jill Miller, living my best spa life, knowing that how we meet today has the power to change everything going forward. Please note that the information provided in this podcast should not be considered medical advice. We do encourage all listeners to consult their healthcare professionals for medical concerns. Thank you for listening, and we hope you find our discussion today enlightening. Hi, and welcome to SpondyCast. Today, our guest is Jess Robbins. She is part of the Chicago-based band Course, who blends elements of dream pop, 90s new wave, alt electronic, and indie rock into a sound that is both ethereal and industrial. Led by the multifaceted Jess Robbins, who has been writing and performing since the age of 9, the band performed in 2019 after she established herself as a solo artist with her acclaimed 2018 album, Lightfield. She, released their debut album in 2021, a dreamy synth-pop collection filled with intricate narratives that weave together both imagined worlds and real-life experiences. Described as dreamy and hypnotic by Chicago Magazine, their sophomore album, Tight Feathers, followed in 23, expanding on the band's signature atmospheric sound. In 2025, Course will release their highly anticipated third album, Hue Mirror, which explores deeply personal territory, both physically and emotionally. After being diagnosed with ankylosing spondylitis in April of 2024, following years of misdiagnosis, Robbins channeled her pain, uncertainty, and resilience into these 8 songs. The album's atmospheric layers reflect her journey, and each track is paired with a corresponding meditation piece. She is donating all album proceeds to the Spondylitis Association of America to fund crucial research. Despite struggling with chronic pain that limits her ability to perform live, Robbins and the band continue to bring their music to audiences, recently performing at the iconic Chicago venues like Constellation, Shuba's, and Fitzgerald's. Course's music has been featured in the Chicago Tribune, Chicago Magazine, and other notable outlets. Jess, we're going to talk about Notes of Hope today. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me.
So
exciting to be here.
It is. And as a Chicagoan who loves Shuba's, I need to get on the list for the next
Definitely.
Month. And, but tell me a little bit about you and your journey, just as a human, right? And leading up to the diagnosis. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about how you came to be.
Okay. Like my AS journey specifically?
Sure, you know, life journey.
Everything. Okay. I mean, I've been playing music my whole life, basically. I was, you know, more into piano as a child and then guitar in college and then started writing songs after college. I, in college, started to have pain in my lower back and didn't know what it was. It was just like kind of like limping around. And I thought it was because my backpack was too heavy. Like, honestly, like for like 10 years, that's what I thought, that my backpack was too heavy and that I injured my lower back from that. But obviously now I know that wasn't the case. So I kept performing and my back started to hurt when I'd hold my guitar and like my upper back, my lower back pain went away. And then I think that's why it took a long time for me to be diagnosed, because I wasn't complaining of low back pain. My pain was all in my upper back, and I would have pain when I held my guitar, when I'd rehearsed for hours, but I was still just like, oh, it just must be like my bra, or like maybe it's like just something with my body mechanically. Anyway, years and years of going to doctors and trying to figure out what's wrong, I came to like an apex past few years of just finding out like I had a low bone density and they couldn't figure out why, like how could she have this at this age, and you know, like running a bunch of tests, which they still didn't figure out. It took 2 more years, and then I have ulcerative colitis too, which goes along with obviously AS. And my GI doctor, I don't have it bad enough for them to have given me Humira or a drug, but he's like, go to a rheumatologist. They'll be able to give it to you if, you know, you tell them your symptoms. Like, I had some other symptoms that were, you know, concerning. So I went to the rheumatologist, they took an x-ray of my lower back, and they were like, oh, yeah, there you go, you have this disease. And I was like, I have what? Ankle what?
Right, right, right. I know.
I texted my doctor. I was like, what is this scary disease?
Yeah. It's
they didn't even tell me I had it. They actually wrote it in a note. They didn't tell me. They just said, go on Humira. You, and then in a tiny note in the, you know how you can see the notes on my chart? It said, axial spondyloarthritis.
Oh, wow. So your doctor didn't actually give you the diagnosis? You just mm-hmm. read like the ICD-10 code or whatever? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So interesting. But you, thank you for making it through with us and getting things going. And you're also a support group leader for SAA. So what led you or what inspired you to get involved with SAA?
Well, like when I first got diagnosed, I was like, what is this? It was so weird and scary. And I didn't, and I also was like, how do I not know about this? Like rheumatoid arthritis or other autoimmune diseases are more well known, but it seemed like a lot of people had this. So I went to I just searched Google search. I found the website. I was like, this is a very comprehensive website. I was very impressed with how much information was on it. And I was just like kind of blown away because my mom was the executive director of a nonprofit, a pancreatic cancer organization. So I'd seen a bunch of websites, but this one was so thorough and like, I just thought it was really great. And so I also like wanted to find people who had this disease because I was like, what? I just was so like whiplashed or something. And so I went to the Chicago support group didn't have one right away. And like, so I went to like LA or something. And I was like, oh, this is good. Like, I like this. Like, I'm meeting people who have this disease. This is like very helpful. And then I finally went to the Chicago one, and then they needed some help. So I volunteered.
And you met our Gail.
Yes. And it's like, even though I just got diagnosed, I'd been living with this disease for 15 years or whatever. And it was like, so I felt like an old school person. No, even though I had just been diagnosed, I knew a lot about it at that point. So.
Yeah. And it like your life makes sense once you get the diagnosis.
Yeah.
Okay, so Notes of Hope is a fundraiser you're working on with us at SAA. Tell us more and how that like came to life.
So I had been kind of just, I had finished Tight Feathers, my last album, and I had been writing more songs, and I noticed that a lot of them were about my back pain. And then when I got the diagnosis in April, I was like, okay, I want to like write more about my journey, or like I kind of focused on that with the songwriting, not making it super obvious, but you know, just wanting to help people who live in chronic pain, who have a chronic disease, and who there's not, you know, I just wanted to. It was like my own like artistic process too, to help me kind of. I also like don't feel pain when I play music. So when I write and I play, I'm able to like get rid of the pain, which helps a lot. And so I use that as a process for that. And then wrote all the songs and worked with my producer to kind of like get a sound that we thought would be appropriate for the record. And then, yeah.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, it's so beautiful. So I was telling you a bit in the green room that my daughter and her friend and I were listening to your to the album. I got a sneak peek. And there's a lot in there that resonates, right? Like, and as you talk through some of the feelings you were having and in the writing, there were a couple that, you know, came to me. The lyrics really mean a lot. And I think I'm getting a little verklempt because I was reading them, again, but I think you have one song called Mess, and you talk about wanting to hide, right? And I think a lot of us feel this way. And there were just so many things that as I worked through it, it was, and I can see how you're, as I listened through it, I could definitely empathize. And I think it's this beautiful expression of what most of us can't articulate when we have the disease. It's, and I love that your pain goes away when you play. And do you ever wish you could play 24 hours a day?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, especially when I can't move or walk. It is an amazing thing that happens. I don't know what that's about, but I think that it really helps me. And I think having like some kind of creative outlet to express, I'm like very emotional person, and having able to, you know, do that through music in a vulnerable way where I can, it was very cathartic. Like there's nothing, this is the most meaningful album I've ever written, like by a landslide.
But it's, did you find that as you started writing this, your music made more sense to you?
Yeah. I mean, I think it, like the MRI song specifically was, you know, I had to get 4 MRIs, like, and I had to get 2 actually last Friday. It's just like the fear, just the, I wanted to write a song that was like more, happy, you know, just calming and relaxing as opposed to that loud banging and like, you know, just claustrophobic environment of an MRI.
Oh, yes. I remember one where I climbed out because I was asking for help and no one responded. They had turned off the speaker. And I shimmied out. I was having like, is this a bad ER episode where somebody's come in and like knifed somebody with a scalpel? You know,
like, that's like actually a nightmare. Like that is a nightmare.
It is
the
a
fact
nightmare.
That you could climb out is a very relieving though. That you, well, my fear is that you're stuck, like you can't get out.
Well, I started shimmying like my body a little bit down, and then they eventually, because it screwed up the MRI, they caught it, right? So that was, I moved probably 8 inches. To me, it felt like 8 feet, but yeah, I can see that. When we turned on the song MRI, you can hear it, like the clunking. And I was
yeah.
Like, no, that's the PTSD coming back. So when you were writing the album, how often do you play, by the way? Every day?
No. Okay. I mean, I try, but no, I mean, I try. Yes. I mean, you know, as much as I can, but not every day.
How long did it take you to write the album?
I had written about 3 or 4 songs before diagnosis. So April, and then I wrote the rest. There's 8. So about half was written before, half after. So it took about, I'd say, a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
As you were writing, do you have a creative process that you can share with us, or is it personal?
No, sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm the kind of songwriter who writes melody and music first. So lyrics are usually last. However, with this album, like I had Hugh Mirror as a song title, and so I knew that. So sometimes I'll have a phrase like I'm a mess. I'll have that phrase. And then I kind of write around that melodically, like with the guitar or piano, and then get kind of like jumble lyrics like that don't make sense. And then I'll go back and rewrite the lines, which is what I did for most of those songs. Like Clouds, that song where you can't really hear what I'm saying, is like purposeful, you know, and also that when I used the demo vocal, actually, I went back and just used the vocal I recorded in my bathroom because I thought it was like the most authentic vocal I Like I couldn't get that vocal in a studio. It was not working because I'm like doing this weird breathing thing at the end, and like I feel like I got it in the demo, and so we just kept the demo vocal and didn't do a studio vocal. So
But it's all beautiful.
you.
There is one you wrote called 50 Miles. And I want to read a couple of it. Would it be okay if I read your notes on it?
Sure. Yes,
Okay. Because I
definitely.
think this is what impacted me so much. So 50 miles is holding my breath, riding for 50 miles, lights flickering left. Can we stop for a while? Because I want to see your face in the rain, and it sounds like night. Sleeping in the sun, I didn't get undressed. The palms hanging low. Shade our feet as we rest, because I want to see your face in the rain, and it sounds like night. And you said you wrote this pre-diagnosis, and the way you described it was feeling free, driving to a beach, relaxing, feeling the sun on your face for a while with no worries. Can I stop the world? Can I just escape this dreaded feeling? Can I ever feel like myself again? And freedom, right? Like, I think we forget about the freedom we are not afforded sometimes when this disease flares up. And this song like hit me really hard, was very much, I have, and I imagine it does for almost anyone who is uncomfortable, but it's also a bit of a love story. And it's really powerful because these are the things that like dreams or things can be shattered by this disease. And I don't know, that one is the one that hit me the most. And I know we're going to talk about a couple more, but is there anything you want to add on that 50 miles?
Oh yeah, no, you nailed that. Yeah, exactly. It's just that feeling of feeling like myself again. Like there's so many times when I can't do what other people are doing, like simple tasks, and it's just I look at people who are in their 80s, and that's when it really like I'm like I feel that way age inside sometimes, and I'm like this is hard. This is a very hard disease to have.
And being so merging back into like being a support group leader, what have you seen and observed? I know what my experience was in the short time that I did it, but how has that influenced you along the way?
Yeah, it's just not, I mean, it's just a really nice feeling to be able to talk with people who are going through similar situations and help them, like give them things you that have helped you and them the same. Hearing like positive things, like we have a, people who ran a marathon, people who are doing things and trying so hard, to overcome and just be able to feel good. And it's just nice. I've been part of many communities, like music communities and things, but I've never felt more like bonded to someone when I got diagnosed and met people with this disease. It's really helpful to meet other people, and no one can understand it. When I was like, oh, it hurts to go to like the dentist, or it hurts to go like to the get my hair washed in a
Oh,
bowl. Like no,
I know people don't get that one, right?
no, they don't get it. So it's like nice to meet people who get it. Like there's
Right.
something really relaxing about that to me.
You know, and Gail, right, who also hosts, when I first met her back in 2017 or 18, the first thing I remember putting in my phone she gave me was it says Gail Wright AS Warrior. And I was thinking about her Saturday in my yoga class because he was talking through how a warrior in yoga is a protector. It's not someone who's actually what the way we think of like a warrior, but a protector. And I think that's what a lot of I see in this community. It's a beautiful group of human beings.
Yeah.
And it gave me, still does. I mean, that's why I'm here. But I hope you continue to hang out with us. But it gives you, sometimes it gives you like the underpinning of what you need to keep going.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. And I try to just not be, I've tried to be really open about that I have this to people, like, and not ashamed and not shy away from talking about it, because I just think it just needs awareness and needs people to understand, you know, even if you don't look sick, you know, the typical, like, even if you don't look like you have something wrong, there still could be something wrong. So just trying to talk about it as much as possible. And people are probably like, you talk about it a lot. I'm like, well, get used to it, people.
Yeah, right. It's and talking about things makes you feel better sometimes, or singing about them, which leads me to my next question. Are there songs that are more meaningful to you than others on the upcoming album?
I don't know. I think of them all as like little important pieces of me. But I would say like there's something that resonates with me with Hugh Mirror, because I think that was the first song I wrote after I was diagnosed. And I put a lot into that song. And so that one always like has a special place.
Should we listen to it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. This is Hugh Mirror. Okay, so that was Hugh Mirror, and that is beautiful. And that's a little bit of a play on words there.
But only people with our disease will understand that, or maybe right. Some other diseases too, like right. Crohn's.
Right. any other songs that have been particularly like near and dear to you?
I mean, I think like Clouds is one of my favorite ones, but also we talked about MRI as being just a very interesting, different sound for me. I think that's a good glimpse of what the album is like, and ways that, you know, we kind of use like different sounds and it's hard to explain. You just have to hear it.
In this one, you're usually acoustic guitar, but you used a piano.
Yes, when I wrote. Yeah, when yeah. I wrote it. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's listen to a clip from MRI. Was awesome. That was MRI. Yeah, that was really cool. That's a little bit it resonates with me, like we talked about, but also like just the when you do close your eyes, hopefully people who listen to it and who get MRIs can like chill out and like actually nap in the MRI machine. I don't know that happens very often, but I always dream about it. So what has your music shifted? I mean, do you feel like your music message or tone, or has it shifted your sound? That's the word I'm looking for. Has your sound shifted at all from your first albums, do you think, because of the diagnosis?
Oh yeah, definitely. This one is much more somber. no, it's definitely just a more reflective. My last album had like some real, you know, upbeat, fun, dancey kind of synth pop songs. And this one, I mean, maybe Window Seat comes the closest to like a driving beat kind of song. But it's definitely just a little more somber. And I really was excited to do that and just have a little bit of a different, like go back to a more acoustic sound, like back to my days as just like a singer-songwriter, like, you know, playing guitar and just real simple songs, basic, but with a lot of emotion. And that was the goal for this album, you know.
And how have your friends and family been about your journey, especially like in the last, since your diagnosis, and in support of like the music approach?
I mean, yeah. So my friends, my family, I think they've had a hard time like understanding what this is and confused. And, you know, I think that's common probably, especially because it's hard to explain inflammatory back pain to someone. Like my mom will be like, I had my back hurts a little, you know, it's like, just, it's not the same. When I hear people say that, I'm just like, okay, not to undermine anyone else's back pain, but it is a different kind of back pain that's very hard to explain, where you feel like your spine is breaking versus, you know, where you can get over it much quicker if it's mechanical sometimes. This is like when a flare happens, it's like your body's like on fire and it's a lot of weird pain that, anyway, so they don't really understand fully. They've come. Yeah, I've sent them the SA website. That helped.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Explain, you know, they do a good job breaking it down. And my friends have been really supportive. Like, all my music friends, very supportive, really nice. You know, I can't always carry my equipment, my amp, and everyone helps, and it's, you know, it's been good in that way. So I feel really supported by the music community that knows, the people who know, you know.
Yeah. No, it's, and it is the people that know. That's the common ground, right? So now that this album is finished and this fundraiser is going to go on, so once we, once you release the album, it'll be available for people. And with SAA, are you planning to do more engagements or more? Is there going to be a, you know, Wrigley Field concert night coming up?
yeah. Yep.
Manifest.
Me and Bruce Springsteen at yes. The field. Well, first of all, yeah, I'm going to release the record exclusively on SA. So I'm not going to put it on digital platforms until after. So like it'll be on there just exclusively for a couple months. So if you want to hear the album, they have to just get it through the SAA website. And then eventually I will put it on Spotify and Apple Music, et cetera, but give it some time there first. And then I will still funnel all people to that, even once it's on the digital streams, because you'll get a download of the album through the SA website, which will be nice. Plus I might send like the lyrics and those explanations of the songs to people who buy it through the SA website. So that will be good. And then, yeah, I would like to do a fundraiser, like concert, like once the album is out on everywhere, like a public release show where we play the songs live.
Nice. That would be, okay. I'm in. I'll be
okay.
There.
Yeah, come.
So you're relatively, I know, newly diagnosed, but you have experienced it like many of us have, which is a very long road to diagnosis. But do you have like one piece of hope that you want to share with the rest of the community?
Just keep doing the things you love, I guess, right? And don't think you can't do those things anymore. I think it's easy to get really depressed with this disease and feel defeated. And I felt defeated. Like I literally had to buy a new guitar because I couldn't. It was hurting my arm, my shoulder, and my arm so much on the acoustic guitar I had that I went and I bought like a little, not a baby guitar, but it's like a little mini Martin because I was in so much pain. But with the minute I bought that, I felt, I was like, oh my, okay, I can play again. I can be myself. So I say, just, you know, keep doing the things you love to do.
Yeah. You know what? I think that's great hope. And people will, we talked about how people can support the fundraising efforts. So that'll be launched on the SAA website. Any other advice or encouragement you want to share with this community? Like, I think it's just beautiful the way you express yourself on this.
Thank you. Just keep going. And I don't, this website, I mean, this podcast actually really helped me. I want to say that, like, Sean had told me about it and I listen to it like every day. I think I was, so now I feel like you're kind of a celebrity. Like, I'm like, hi. I told my producer, I'm like, because I've been on a bunch of podcasts for music, but I'm like, I'm going on this podcast with like the celebrity lady who I've been listening to in my ears. You've been helping me for a long time.
Like, I love that.
Yeah.
But that is you saying, incessantly ask people questions and that makes me feel better, right? But thank you for that, because I always don't always know. So
no, it was super helpful, like tremendously. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah,
now you're gonna make me emotional. Okay, Jess Robbins, we have to have a meetup, so I'm gonna want to know when you are playing. And we can take Chicago by storm in the AS community. But thank you so much for coming. Good luck with the launch of the album. And I know our community will support you. And I really look forward to seeing what comes next.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Notes of Hope. That's our plan.
Yeah.
SpondyCast was made possible by donations from the Spondylitis Association of America's individual members and our show's corporate sponsor, AbbVie. Since our founding in 1983, the Spondylitis Association of America has been the face, voice, and leading nationwide nonprofit educating, empowering, and advocating for people living with spondyloarthritis. Through our extensive work with patients, the medical community, and partners, we provide information and resources to help people impacted by the disease live better lives and champion research to find a cure.